word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our study this evening in Genesis, in the text, chapter 7, verse 17. As believers, we all stumble in many ways. How we are able to deal with personal sin in life is through the rebound technique. The mechanics given to us is 1 John 1:9 in our prayer of confession, private between the believer, priest, and God. When we confess it, acknowledge our known sins to God and unknown, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Experientially, we are then filled with God the Holy Spirit. We are in a state of spirituality. We are under the gap umbrella, the grace apparatus perception, therefore, for God the Holy Spirit to enlighten us to the truth in its purest of forms, undistorted by the sin nature, the human viewpoint that accompanies it, etc. So, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for the positive volition in this geographical region. Our assembly once again this evening to study your word. We ask that you continue to lighten us in these things via God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here in chapter 7, which is the third primary scene as divided out by the Hebrew language. The flood event at this point in time now, up through verse 16, the passengers have all been accounted for and have boarded the ark. Those who have been qualified in the human realm by God in order to do so, which consists of simply of 8 individual believers, the last remaining believers on planet Earth at this point in time in its early history, the pre-diluvian era. Accompanied them. Then, in order to perpetuate the animal world, God has set forth in regards to all the families of animals, all species in pairs, male and female. Certain ones he put in their brain computers to be attracted to, gravitate towards, if you will, in regards to Noah and the ark, to preserve their livelihood. This consists of one pair of every unclean animal and 7 pairs of every clean animal, as they are so designated by God in that respect. And as they get on the ark, while they are in pairs in their compatible male-female form, they go in groups of 4, as it states, 2 by 2. So obviously, looking at the Hebrew, we see that it's not the general picture you see out there in Sunday school, just simply 2 animals of every species, as it's so taught. This is the accurate record in regards to the animals, the pairs of animals, and how they indeed board the ark in that respect. Now, with all of them on board, God, in His grace, seals the ark. This is the only way that they can have true security and be perfectly protected from His judgment in this regard. That ended verse 16. And now, in verses 17 through 20, we have the flood as it is now presented in its ascension as it comes ultimately covering the entire world in this regards. And the flood, the ascending waters, verses 17 through 20, is presented, if you will, in 3 different stages here in these particular verses. In verse 17, that looks at stage 1. That's the launch of the ark, if you will. So looking here at the language. Then the flood came upon the earth for 40 days. You have the wow consecutive plus the cal imperfect third masculine singular of our verb hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. Plus the definite article came into existence, if you will. plus the definite article, followed with the noun, common masculine singular, absolute, mabul, or term for flood, M-A-B-B-U-L. Followed with the cardinal adjective, both genders, plural, absolute, or word for 40, Arabaim, A-R-E-B-B-A-I-Y-M. Follow with the noun, common masculine singular, absolute, or word for days, yom. Then you have the preposition all, A-L. The definite article, noun, common feminine singular, absolute, or word for earth, eretz, E-R-E-T-S. Then it came to pass, literally, the flood, 40 days upon the earth. And the water increased and lifted up the ark so that it rose above the earth. We now have liftoff, wow, consecutive, cal, imperfect, third masculine plural, rabah is our verb here, R-A-B-A-H, translated increased. What increases? The waters, definite article, common masculine plural, absolute, mayim, M-A-Y-I-M. And lifted up the ark, while consecutive, cal, imperfect, third masculine plural, our verb to lift up or carry, nasha, N-A-S-H-A. Then you had to sign a direct object to know what was lifted up. Definite article, or common feminine singular, absolute noun, that's taba, not a T, not an N, it's a T, T-E-B-A-H. Same finger, same letter on the typewriter, if you're a typist. The ark. And it rose above the earth. You had the wow consecutive, cal imperfect, third feminine singular, our verb here to arise, room, R-U-M. It arose above the earth, preposition men. Follow with our preposition all. From above, if you will, the earth, definite article, or noun for earth. Once again, common feminine singular, absolute, eretz, E-R-E-T-S. Then it came to pass, the flood 40 days upon the earth. And the water increased, the waters, and lifted up the ark so that it rose above the earth. All right, the analysis now at verse 19. Or 17, excuse me. I didn't hear anybody flipping their pages to get there, so I guess you're with me. One, we now arrive at the climax to the event, the commencing of the flood. We were given a prelude to it earlier on in the interlude between the two boarding presentations to give us the main effect, causing the main cause for the flood, back in verses 11 and 12, of two essential ingredients, the vapor canopy, water vapor canopy condensing out for 40 days in its heaviest of forms, and followed or in conjunction with, simultaneously with, the depths of the ocean floors surrounding Pangaea, them erupting in regards to their existence, creating huge waves, tidal action in conjunction with the water now coming from above. It comes from underneath, and this is what starts to inundate the planet. And now we see the effect of this as it shows the water arising, ascending, in regards to its ultimate height. So too, with Noah and passengers safely inside the ark, God begins pouring out his wrath. God's grace, if you will, that door has been slammed shut. That was him closing and sealing the door on the ark. That is a principle that we must always keep in mind. God's grace, while the mercy pool in regards to his grace seems to be almost unlimited, it does have its limits. And sooner or later, men are held accountable in regards to what they are and what they have done in regards to their lives and their attitude towards God and all these other things. And while grace has been extended for mankind, humanity, even over and beyond probably what most of us, if we was in the situation, would have allowed, God allowed 120 years for that grace to exist. It comes down to the last day, and we see how many people avail themselves in regards to all the warnings that Noah presented in regards to his teaching, etc., evangelizing those around him in regards to what was going to happen. Only eight people, including Noah, his family, his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, their three wives, Noah's wife, are the only ones that, while remaining alive, in regards to the day of the flood, that took heed in regards to the truth of doctrine and God's plan for mankind in this vein. The rest of the world now is going to perish. This includes, obviously, all the human beings that were offspring from the effects of the demonic infiltration in regards to the human race, as well as any other humans that may have been left that had not yet been maybe directly affected in that regards otherwise. So, after a while, grace ends. After grace, then judgment. And what you have done, what you haven't done in regards to the plan of God, that's it. We're all given a lot amount of time. God reads our intents. He knows our hearts and all these other things. But every time people decide to take issue with God's plan, go off under their STAs, all they are doing is playing spiritual roulette in regards to their Christian lives. You never know when God may call you to task in regards to answering for your life. Even if you're adjusted and you're positive, your course may be short, relatively speaking, in regards to God's plan for your life. So, grace is there. Every time the doors are open in regards to Bible class, that grace has been extended to any who will avail themselves of it. Those who continue to reject it, to dismiss it, obviously in reversionism, they eventually will face God's judgment in regards to their actions, just as we, when our life is over, even if we hang in to the end, will eventually face the consequences also in regards to our own lives. So, grace has concluded. Wrath, judgment begins. So three, the end result here will be the destruction of all land-breathing life forms. This is quite a judgment, a universal judgment, wiping out every poor little living creature that PETA is all scared today that's going to become extinct and all these other things. All life form, human and animal, is wiped out in regards to the whole situation. And this is a catastrophic event that has occurred in regards to this planet, an event that more recent times the supposed intellects of society have disregarded and dismissed as being factual. They have their own theories in spite of all the evidence that goes against their theory of evolution, etc., etc. Not only in regards to finding sea fossils on tops of mountains, but the latest discovery in archaeology is finding two complete whale skeletons in the middle of the Egyptian desert. Yes. They're sand swimmers. No. Now, for those who obviously know the truth, we know how this is made possible, how these things get there, etc. And there was this catastrophic event. And in spite of God wiping out, essentially, except for the remnant of humanity and the animal world, we still see that God kept life going after the fact. But for the rest of the world, it is judgment. And again, It's my consensus that the animals were included in this because they became forms of idolatry as negative volition. The influence of the demonic invasion brings these things about in regard to the human viewpoint. You got to understand human viewpoint and certain aspects of it, especially in regards to the religious world, come about through demonic influence. Paul doesn't call these things doctrine of demons in Timothy for no reason. Men under the SCAs, they can use their own imaginations and things of this nature, but they find their core of belief, their foundation, if you will, from people who are actively pursuing this outer wisdom through channeling and things of this nature. Stay away from that stuff. I can't exhort enough on that. See, the drug culture, things of this nature in our society over the last few decades has opened the doors big time in regards to that type of situation. So, you know, doctrine opens your eyes. Doctrine sheds a light into the darkness of Satan's world. And we see the reality behind these things. And for those who continue to adhere to it, they will face judgment in one form or fashion in regards to God. So for the absence of any personal name, apart from the parenthetic mention of Noah in verse 23, adds to a mood of desolation. Throughout the verses here, the passage, and the flood rising greater and higher, etc., only Noah is mentioned, if you will, as an aside to show that there is still some hope. But it gives you that sense of desolation. They are left alone now in the world. You know, we think we're in four walls test. You know, that we don't have a lot of friends. Well, you're not the only one, if that be the case. Noah had his family to rest upon. And that was great encouragement, wasn't it? Well, yeah. But understand what happened in regards to his family, too, for people like to worship family. Don't forget, we still haven't got the Ham and the tenth episode yet. But anyway, we'll get there. God's willing, the creek don't rise, so to speak. So 5, a brief mention of the ark in verse 23 reminds us there is still hope. Not all is lost. It may seem so to the world, to a cavalier observance, appraisal of it, but no, it's not. God is in complete control in regards to these things. It's all part of fulfillment of His plan to ensure the integrity of His plan. With respect to, obviously, the coming Messiah and all positive volition that will continue to come forth and manifest itself in the procreative fashion of humanity. So 6, to launch the ark into the cataclysm, into the great flood, the author here provides a sense of the water's elevation that will ultimately engulf planet Earth. As we are here in stage 1. So 7, the visual here given to us is seen in the three cal verbs, active verbs, increased, which is rabah in the Hebrew, then lifted up, nashah, and rose or arose, room. 8, the flood finds its initial momentum in the first 40 days. That is probably the greatest speed of increase in volume, etc., happens within the first month based on a Jewish Babylonian calendar, 30 days, 10 days afterwards. So the flood finds its initial momentum in the first 40 days. That's Arabayim Yom, of a 150-day period of increasing and ongoing tidal action. We know that aspect occurs some 5 months. That's verse 24, and the water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. So 9, verse 24, then closes out scene 3 with the water's triumph over earth. When we get into verse chapter 8, we'll see the language give us further insight in regards to this 150-day period, a better picture. There, the emphasis will be on the receding nature of the water. Right now, the emphasis that Moses has us pointed to is the victory of the water in judgment over the planet, of overcoming the planet. So 10, now the contrast of earth, Eretz, and water, Mayim, is emphasized 4 times in the passage. Verse 17, our verse, then we'll see it, 18, 19, and then again in verse 24. The water, the earth, the contrast is designed to conjure up, if you will, a battle. The earth is being drowned. See. So 11, during the first 40 days, the water vapor canopy condensed out. This aspect of water is not just a rain like we might experience most of the time around here. This is a heavy deluge of rain. I mean, water so thick, so fast, coming down, in such volumes that it would be hard probably to walk through it and be able to see more than a couple feet in front of you. That's how heavy this water is, how thick it's coming down. Not like, you know, the sprinkle out there and your wife's running for the umbrella and you're going, it's not raining. You know, then God spits on you and you go, yeah, it is. You pull out your own. But anyway. So, and just because after the water vapor canopy condenses out, and these are just things to think forward to, because we'll have to deal with some of this stuff when we get in chapter 8, it doesn't mean that necessarily that all rain has ceased. You have a new environment, if you will, that's developing upon the planet during this period. Before, they had never seen rain. It was a foreign word to them. Now it's going to become part of the norm of our environmental cycles. So in the first 40 days, the water vapor canopy obviously condensed out. 12, simultaneous to this incessant heavy rainfall, we had the disruption of the fountains of the oceanic depth. Per verse 11, the great deeps burst open, the fountains of the great deeps burst open, producing massive tidal waves moving over the shores of Pangaea. Again, part of the issues taken in regards to flood event, well, 40 days of rain wouldn't flood the earth like this. And because Christians are not astute and discerning in regards to the scriptures, they're stumped. Oh yeah, you're probably right. No, that's not the only thing that was occurring. The real impact, the real devastation came from the oceanic depths bursting open and whatever volcanic and other type of action that was occurring during that time. And as we'll see, an astral visitor is partly responsible in regards to the wave action that will occur. And it comes in as a form of big, huge, rogue, tsunami type of waves on the planet. The rain is just there to remind you that it's springtime. Okay. It obviously had its part in the situation. But the real devastation comes from the tidal action that occurs. So you have these waves, just like a tsunami as we would understand it today, they now are encroaching and overpowering the terra firma, the land of Pangaea, the single continent of which mankind was living on in existence at this time, and the other animal life. So 13, that the water increased and lifted up the ark, indicates tides reaching the ark somewhere inland, causing it to float. And maybe this is something we'll find out later. It'd be interesting to me to know where the ark was in regards to the location, how far inland. But eventually, no matter where it's at, it reaches it, and this huge water vessel, there's enough power and volume of water to literally lift it up off the ground and causing it to float. 14, considering the size of the ark, this meant tsunami type of waves. Tidal surge had reached at least 22 and a half feet, feet, for the ark to float. Approximately 15 cubits. The draft of the ark being half of the 45-30 cubit height of the ark. So that is the size of the waves that came rolling in. 16, the words "it rose above the earth" simply means that the ark fulfilled its purpose riding high on the water. It did what it was designed to do according to the instructions given to Noah by God. And it shows a successful carpentry efforts in regards to Noah, his sons, etc., in building the ark. 17, it indicates water action immune to the gravitational norms of descent, envisioning the planet sinking lower and lower into the depths of the deluge. The language here, gravity generally keeps things pulled down, so obviously that the ark is rising, it is showing a force against gravity that is coming from a source of water, not coming down from essentially the sky in that sense, but water force from underneath, coming, if you will, from underneath and pushing it up. So 18, we have liftoff. All right, in verse 18, now we have the second stage, denoting the rising of the water above flood level. First, the rising of the water, essentially giving you the picture of getting the ark going. Now, it increases. Spills out of the banks, if you will. any containment. Verse 18, and the water prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth. While consecutive, cal verb, imperfect third masculine plural, gabar, G-A-B-A-R, means to prevail. Overcome, if you will. It prevailed. The waters, literally, definite article, common masculine plural absolute, noun, mayim, again, M-A-Y-I-M, and increased greatly upon the earth, while consecutive, followed with a cal and perfect third masculine plural, our verb, rabah, R-A-B-A-H. It became, and became great, literally, follow with the adverb meod, exceedingly, much, M-E-O-D, upon the earth, preposition all, A-L, definite article, eretz, common feminine singular, B-R-E-T-S. And the ark floated, or walked, on the surface of the water, on the face of the waters. While consecutive, cal imperfect third feminine singular, halak, to walk, literally, H-A-L-A-K. Here, obviously, water is floating. The ark, defna arko, followed with the noun, tebah, T-E-B-A-H, common feminine singular. On the surface of the waters, preposition all, repeated, A-L, followed with our noun for face, hence surface, common both plural construct, paneh, P-A-N-E-H. Defna arko, then our noun for waters again, mayim, in the plural, upon the face or surface of the waters. Verse 18. And the water prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark walked on the face of the waters. 1, verse 18, moves the drama onward and upward as the scene unfolds. 2, after the first tidal waves reached the ark and caused it to break free from its place, Moses tells us that the waters, quote, prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth. So 3, this indicates a heightening of the tidal effect with the ark staying atop the highest surges. Through the ordeal, the volume of water increases, the tidal action increases, more upheaval, the gravitational disturbance in regards to the astral visitor, all the rain, all the chaos that's going on, and it does not abate at all. It only grows worse and worse, just like going into a hurricane. It starts off some winds, and then they just get greater and greater and greater until finally you're reaching this peak. So here we have the same sense regards to the tidal effect of the ark. The tides become stronger and greater and higher as more water comes from underneath the surface of the earth and being dumped on top of their heads in addition to it through the ordeal. So 4, verse 18 here is the intermediate stage of water elevation following the initial state in verse 17. And then verses 19 through 20 will mark the summit of the ark's ascent over the earth, the peak, if you will, of its height, which will be higher than the highest mountain that exists on the planet. So 5, the adverb greatly, exceedingly, or much, mayod, marks a significant advance over verse 17. Verse 17, it just says the water increased, lifted up the ark. Now the water prevailed and increased greatly or exceedingly. So 6, the verb prevailed, gabar, is used 4 times in the passage. To prevail means it continued to conquer, if you will. It continued to triumph in its power, to grow in its power against all other forces of nature that might otherwise try to subdue it or diminish its effect. See, and the verb prevail, gabar, is used 4 times in the passage, beginning here in verse 18, and then we'll see it again in 19, 20, and 24. In 19, the water prevailed more and more. And then 20, the water prevailed 15 cubits higher, and the mountains were covered. In 24, the water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Seven, the verb has a nuance of might or strength, emphasizing the tidal force overwhelming terra firma. No barriers, natural or otherwise, could withstand the force in regards to the tidal action that was occurring. I mean, again, all you got to do is just recall the latest tsunami event that occurred over in Japan and see the pictures they have on the news and on the internet of hitting the breaker walls, these huge concrete structures and walls that was built to try to hold back the water. And essentially, these things do nothing. You take this, put it on an atomic explosion level in comparison, that's the kind of force we're dealing with. In regards to the accelerated volume and force that is put into all the water in this event. So the tidal force is extreme strength and power. 18, the verb increased, or verb rabah, occurred as we saw in verse 17. The water increased. So 9, it denotes, quote, abundance or much, end quote, emphasizing the volume of water, swelling in effect due to the ongoing chaos from the oceanic depths and gravitational disturbance. Each of the words applied in regards to the picture that is being presented. 10, the flood was multiplying in intensity and volume as time passed, seen in the verb, adverb, greatly or exceedingly. 11, the adverb will double in verse 19 with the flood reaching its peak. Verse 19, the water prevailed more and more. Rabah, rabah. So 12, the result is seeing the ark here, quote, walking, our term halak, or floating on the face of the water. And the picture of these humongous roller tidal waves and the ark bobbing like a cork on top of all this. I'll wake you up. Something in the air. God used the force of the tides to power the ark forward. That's where it would get its forward momentum, is the tidal action, the wave action. And obviously, it had no power of its own. It didn't have a rudder or anything of that nature like you would find on a normal sailing vessel. It's simply designed to stay on top of that water and keep everybody dry. No skiing behind the ark. You might try to surf, but that would be about the last thing you tried, probably. So 14, verse 18, represents roughly the midpoint to the flood event, which would put us about some 75 days or so after the rains began to fall. 15, so this stage continues past the 40 days of rain onward to the end of the 150 days, the 5 months of the process that we see here. Now, verses 19 to 20, we have stage 3, and is this stage that the flood peaks. And the water prevailed more and more upon the earth. Wow, conjunction, definite article, waters, common masculine plural absolute, noun, mayim, M-A-Y-I-M. Prevailed is our cal perfect third common plural, verb gabar, G-A-B-A-R, overpowered. More, I said Rav is meod, the adverb meod, repeated twice here. M-E-O-D. More and more, hence exceedingly, is the idea. Beyond almost comprehension. Upon the earth, preposition all, definite article, A-L, and our noun for earth, common feminine singular, eretz, E-R-E-T-S. To such a degree, so that all the high mountains everywhere under the heavens were covered. While consecutive, you have the verb pu'al, imperfect third masculine plural, kasah. K-A-S-A-H. Intensive passive. They were utterly covered. They were concealed, out of sight, overcome. All the mountains, you had the common masculine singular, construct, coal, K-O-L, all, plus a definite article, and our noun for mountains, common masculine plural, absolute, har, H-A-R. These not just any old mountains, these are the high ones, the greatest peaks. You have the definite article, followed with the adjective, masculine, plural, absolute, Gaboha, G-A-B-O-H-H-A. The high ones, all the mountains, the high ones. Everywhere under the heavens, you have the relative pronoun, asher, A-S-H-E-R, followed with the preposition, takath, T-A-C-H-A-T-H. Common masculine singular construct or noun, kol, K-O-L. Definite article, then our noun for heavens, shamayim, common masculine plural, absolute, S-H-A-M-A-Y-I-M, which were under, takoth, all the heavens. Verse 20, we give the, or now given the exact height of the water in comparison to the highest mountain. The water prevailed 15 cubits higher, and the mountains were covered. You have in the Hebrew, first the adjective, feminine, singular, construct, our number 5, Kamesh, C-H-A-M-E-S-H, followed with the adjective, feminine, singular, construct, number 10, Esara, 5 plus 10, 15, obviously, E-S-E-R-E-H, followed with the common feminine, singular, absolute noun, Ama, a word for cubits. Approximately 18 inches on our measuring scale. A-N-M-A-H. The actual measurement is forearm to fingertip on a normal male adult. So 15 cubits. Followed with the preposition men and preposition lama together. Literally from to the top. plus the directional adverb ma'al, M-A-A-L, higher. This is our translation, from to the top. They prevailed. Cal perfect third, common plural, again, gabar, G-A-B-A-R. Again, the emphasis of the water overpowering planet and covering it. The waters, definite article, mayim, again, common masculine plural, absolute, M-A-Y-I-M. Then you have the wow consecutive, the pu'el, imperfect, third masculine plural. Again, the intensive aspect of our verb kasah, K-A-S-A-H. They were utterly covered. The mountains, definite article, are now har, H-A-R. All right, well, we're going to call it quits right here this evening. I'll let you go a little early, and we'll pick this up Tuesday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to continue to light and see things in Jesus' name. Amen.